When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Timeless celebrities or washed out wannabes. Who's your nominee for iconography?
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, you know what it is, you know what it do, you know what it be, what it was, what it shan't, what it shall, and what it shizzin'. Okay.
Shizzin'.
Yeah, I'm adapting Shakespeare in Love, but all Ebonics.
I like that you're not adapting a Shakespeare play, you're adapting Shakespeare in Love. Yeah. A movie about Shakespeare writing Romeo and Juliet.
Out. They're giving out checks left and right to black people for whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm
so supportive of you just getting your bag.
Thank you.
Getting the hell out.
Any big career news for you? You want to announce up top?
No.
I was sort of trying to give you an opportunity to make up something.
Oh, to do like a fun bit?
Yeah. For sure. All right. No, that's cool. Yeah,
you just sounded so earnest. It's because you're such a great actress that I was like, oh, she's like genuinely asking.
How dare you? How dare you pretend to compliment me?
No. Your Natalie Portman masterclass really paid off. I believed the truth.
Oh, like the things I would do to you if we weren't separated. But folks, that's the world we live in. We're doing Zoom podcasts. We're doing Zoom tables and rooms and reads and punch ups and punch downs. But right now, to your ears, live and in color, is our podcast, Iconography. I'm Io Debris.
And I'm Olivia Craighead.
And Olivia, can you do me a favor?
What you want?
Tell me these folks what the podcast is about.
Okay, this is a podcast about icons. This is a podcast where Io and I invite on a guest who tells us someone who they think is an icon. And we ask the important question, does that person endure? Today, we have on someone super cool to talk about someone who's maybe the coolest person who's ever lived.
It's a powerful episode.
But before we do that, Io and I chit-chat a little bit. We talk about the icons of our week. We talk about who's moving us this week, who's inspiring us this week. Mm-hmm. And so I'll kick it to you, Io. Oh. Who's your icon this week?
Olivia, my icon this week came to me in the moment of, I'll call it 2 minutes before the podcast.
Okay, cool.
I moved, it's nearing on 2 months now, and still, nevertheless, she persisted and refused to hang up anything on the walls. So I'm finally hanging some things up on the walls.
Okay. That's really powerful of you, actually.
Thank you. Thank you. Because here's the thing about me, I could go longer.
I know. It's hard to hang things up. It's like a real commitment to hang things up.
And like, you have to picture things.
Yes.
And also, I don't have any frames. So there's some like bigger things that I got. I got no frames. Now I'm trying to buy frames on michaels.com. That's a mess. I mean, God. It's obviously I'm suffering. I'm persisting. I'm riding. I'm dying. And I'm trying to hang some things up. But one of the things I got that I'm not going to frame, I'm just going to hang it up raw, dare I say, is my, I said it too late.
Yeah, keep it rocking. Keep it rolling.
I am hanging up my Truman Show poster.
Okay.
Got a little poster of the Truman Show. It's going to go in the workspace, desk space area.
I have a cue.
And I've got
just
an
like
A.
Off rip. Is it okay. A Truman Show poster, or is it that print of him walking on like the cloud stairs?
We're not doing no prints, baby.
Okay.
We're doing posters that I got from Etsy.com from a man from Australia who collected limited edition posters and prints from when he worked at a movie theater.
Oh, that is so fun.
Yes. And sort of in the vein of you who used to work at a movie theater and
that is posters. True. Yes.
And so that's one of the little things I remember about you. but I got a Truman Show poster. I'm looking at this poster and I'm going, damn, Jim Carrey really went hard, didn't he?
He really did go incredibly hard in that movie and in many other movies.
And that's the thing.
Yes.
Your Eternal Sunshine, your Andy Kaufman Man on the Moon,
even like The Mask, Dumb and Dumber.
Well, The Mask, he was just giving us full physicality. He's got the range.
I also, okay, here's the thing about Jim Carrey that I feel like we don't discuss. Mm-hmm. Dreamboat. Just like,
well, that's really
stunning.
Cool. Just Canadian swoon guy.
Really. Canadian swoon guy.
Really, when he was hot, he was hot.
Absolutely. How do you feel about present day Jim Carrey? What does that make you feel?
I mean, you know, I'm grateful for everything that he has done. Is how I feel.
Okay.
How do you feel about present day Jim Carrey?
I don't like looking at his art, but I'm glad that he has it for him.
That's so true.
It, like, it's not for me, but it's not. That's none of my business.
I know. I just want him to be happy.
I'm glad he stopped dating Jenny McCarthy.
Well, aren't we all?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just had so many ups and downs. I think the beard is gone now, though, which is good.
I kind of like the beard.
You did.
Is like that bad?
I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's good. It simply exists as a yes. choice. And you know what? I'll even throw in one more. He was good in The Grinch.
He is good in The Grinch.
He was good in The Grinch. In this moment when people are choosing to, like, surfacely uplift Black voices, I am choosing to wholeheartedly, with full conviction, uplift Jim Carrey.
As The Grinch. Isn't what's her face Taylor Momsen the little girl in that movie?
I bet she is. And that movie gave me some sort of complex because I was like, I want my nose to be like that. I thought that was a nose you could have.
Oh, the girl nose, not the Grinch nose.
Not the Grinch nose. I don't want a nose like that.
I was really like, okay, cool.
If I got full plastic surgery to get the Grinch nose, would you still love me?
I would want you to go full Grinch. I don't think you can go like 1/8 Grinch. I think you'd have to go full, like,
damn. You're not wrong. I'll think about it.
Okay.
Taylor Momsen is a girl in, well, I mean, Christine Baranski.
Of course.
As Martha May Hoovier.
Yes.
A slay.
Yes.
Matt. Oh wait, actually, does it matter?
I don't know.
Well, I'm gonna say it, whatever. Well, Matt Rogers has a song from his Christmas album about the hottest bitch in Whoville, which is like from the perspective of Martha May Hoover, but a song written by Mariah Carey. If she like wrote original song for the Grinch movie, and it's something that I think about a lot. And Olivia, something that I bet you think about a lot, at least for this week or up to 5 minutes before the podcast, is your icon of the week. So may I ask, who are they?
Okay, so in kind of complete opposite of you, I've been sitting on we haven't recorded in a couple weeks, and I've been sitting on this, waiting. Mm-hmm. It's just been, you know, moving around my mind because a couple weeks ago, on like a Saturday morning, I was just lying in bed and decided to watch every single What's Up With That, Kenan Thompson's iconic SNL sketch.
Yeah.
And so my icon is Kenan Thompson, who is maybe the funniest person on alive. I think just been putting in work for like decades and decades and decades.
Yes, of course, of flawless work.
And
from
literally,
Pierre Escargot. Let's be clear.
Here's the thing: every single I watch maybe five What's Up With That's in a row, And it follows the exact same structure every time. And every single time I would start like cry laughing at something he does.
I, in my own panic, have been rewatching Psych. Well, and sort of my journey in this quarantine perfection. I've started rewatching episodes of Psych. Mm-hmm. Sort of says everything you need to know about me. I rewatched the episode where Gus reunites with his a cappella troupe. All my psych heads know what I'm talking about. And the remaining members of the a cappella troupe, one passed away, the other Jaleel White, the third Kenan Thompson.
Of course.
And I'll say this for myself, I need more Kenan in TV. I know it's in the works, but like, he's just good. Like, he's perfect at sketch, but he's so funny.
He's so funny. I'm like, oh, he should be in movies, and like, he should be, you know, he should be like Will Ferrell level famous.
Yes.
Quick Kyo.
He might not want it.
He might not want it. Honestly, he's probably like chilling. Like, he's probably getting a fat check from SNL and like vibing. Here's a quick cue for you. Mary Fuck Kill, Dule Hill, Jaleel White, Kenan.
Oh, well, obviously Mary Dule Hill, tap, tap, tappity tap. I think Fuck Kenan Kill Jaleel, Olivia.
Okay, I have a different answer, which is Mary Kenan, Fuck Money. Dule, Kill Jaleel.
That tracks.
Yeah.
That tracks. And I'd like to ask, wait. Do you have anything to say about Kenan Thompson?
No, I already said it. I think he's the funniest man in the world. If you haven't, you know, gone back recently.
Well, speaking of the funniest man in the world, I'd like to shine a spotlight on the funniest woman in the world. That's right. Women can be funny. And we've got one here today. We've got one, a contender, a strong contender for first funny woman
ever. First ever funny woman.
Who I'd even like to ask our fuck, marry, kill to, if I can be frank.
Oh, yeah.
But let me tell you who she is. Because maybe you're listening to this podcast and you don't like reading. Or you don't.
Or you can't read.
Or you can't. And I don't really know what that entails, but I respect it. And so I'll usher you in with my voice. How about I do that for you? And I'll say that our guest today, I wish she was my biological mother. If she was my biological mother, she'd have had a hard and really difficult life because she would have had to have me very young. And she probably wouldn't be able to have her career the way that it is today.
So you're wishing that you had ruined her life is what you're saying.
Well, I wish there was a way that we could have both things at the same time. I love this comic so much. Every time I listen to her speak, whether it's doing a stand-up set or just talking, I feel like I learn 100,000 more things and my brain gets bigger, bigger, way too big. She's one of the funniest writers in the world. She is an incredible performer, where my Black Monday stands at. She also is a brilliant stand-up comic, and I love her, and I think she's cool. And these are the things that I have to say about Janelle James.
What an intro. Thank you. I love you too, Ayo. And you don't have to be my daughter. You can be my cool niece.
Okay, nice. Okay, nice. Yeah, because if we were sisters, it would also be like age gap would be too much. You know, we wouldn't actually be able to be close. Like, it'd be
if
one
I
of-
was your mother, we wouldn't like each
so
other.
True.
It'd be some weird thing.
Yeah, it'd be
thing.
Really hard.
You know,
yeah.
You, I wouldn't be me. I'd be resenting.
Yeah, no, it'd be like our like little like postcards from the edge sort of vibe.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, so let's go fun on. That's okay. Chill. You guys had a question, which was fuck, marry, kill, and it's so funny because I definitely have an answer, but I'm trying to get on Kenan's new show, and I'm scared to say the wrong thing.
And you know what? That's good.
That's good.
That's enough.
And that's enough.
But I will say.
That's what we're saying. She's working.
I will say that I agree that he's one of the funniest people,
yes.
Like, and so underrated. And I'm glad that you guys said that he may not want it, because I don't think that's something that people
understand,
realize or understand, that everyone doesn't want to be mega famous. And there is a real nice chill place right in the middle where all is satisfied, your ego, mm-hmm. your performance, and the money, mm-hmm. it, without all the bullshit that comes with fame. So I like that when people say that, and when maybe people who are trying to get in the business hear yeah. that, so they know that's a fucking option and not drive yourself crazy. Yeah.
Like that working and making it an actual like job and career is like a pretty, it's a respectable, yeah. cool thing to do.
Oh man, it's, oh, and it's you've picked the thing where it's one of the coolest ways to do it. You're not middle management. Mm-hmm. Keen is not, you know, an accountant. He's still
no, he's still a star. Like
yes. he's still a star, exactly. So yes. yep.
Yeah.
So I won't answer that question. I feel like you guys know. I feel at least I
no,
know.
No, I definitely know. I definitely know.
I will also, I also want to say with psych is good as fuck.
And psych is so good.
Like it's not.
Yes.
And it reminded me, I was trying to pitch a show like a couple years ago where, you know, is a detective and da, 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 and I wanted to say in the meetings, like psych, like it's a comedy mm-hmm. and it's like, don't say psych. As if I'm like, motherfucker, that shit was on for 13 like, seasons. Yeah. Like, why is
and
it?
Had
psych?
Like a movie and like three musical specials. No,
like the
what? Who is ashamed to be
the
psych?
Fans of psych it. Were like so passionate too. Like that's why there was the movie and stuff. Like you could only hope yeah. to create something that right. people were like half as passionate about as they were about
so
psych.
Into it. And also such a wide range of fans mm-hmm. too. Like everybody fucking like yes. psych. Like get out of here.
Well it was also that, the thing
you know,
where
except pseudo intellectuals, I guess.
I guess but also who you know. Who cares? Sorry. Who cares about pseudo intellectuals?
Yeah.
It's weird because it was watched, it was enjoyed, the fans were passionate mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it was fun. Funny, but also like the mystery mm-hmm. element was good, like
was always
it was like
good.
Satisfying yeah. I was yeah. like what's gonna happen yeah. this week on psych
yeah
also remember
it shows you how comedy isn't respected
well
yeah because remember how like a couple comedy. Years into psych's run The Mentalist came out which is just serious psych
not funny mm-hmm. and there are episodes of where of psych in the episode where they go to British Columbia and meet art thief Kiri Hughes, the Canadian detective goes, oh, so like The Mentalist? And he goes, well, no, not like The Mentalist. I mean, kind of like The Mentalist. But
because he's not real, and if I wasn't real, that would be crazy. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
And The Mentalist feels mm. definitely like, you know, overwrought, and and it's really fun commentary.
Yeah, I mean, the show is over, and there's still memes, fresh memes being used from it.
That gif just... of Dule Hill sitting down in the chair and eating the popcorn.
With the popcorn. Eternal.
Perfect
Eternal.
Gif.
Also,
I don't know what the white guy's name is, but he just came out as like Mexican or something. Like he's been
James
passing.
Rodé has been Mexican that? The whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's cool too. Like in your face, already got your money, you know.
He's been Mexican the whole time and like fully identified.
I've been
with
Mexican
that.
For 13 seasons, motherfuckers. I love it.
And what like, shout out to Dule Hill for being on TV literally for like 20 years straight, jumping straight from The West really? Wing to Psych and just like getting those syndication checks. Like
franchise to franchise.
And also Black Monday. He was in my episode of Black Monday playing Prince Hakeem. And he was hilarious and so fun and so nice.
Yay,
and so
okay,
good.
Great. Oh, I
so
love it.
So yeah. Yeah, so I really couldn't answer that question, so I'm so
thank you. No, and once again,
okay, you know what? It's cool that you're like so connected that you're like, I actually can't do this because I know these people.
This is a new development. This... If you had called me 2 years ago, I'd have been like, I want a friend, you know, but I can't
it's,
do it now.
Also, I feel like in the vein, Olivia, of like previous episodes where we would kind of be like, oh, wait, actually, we know New York gossip that confirms this thing. So we can't say
stuff out loud.
What it is.
Oh, that sucks. Ugh. Can't even gossip anymore.
God, I'm literally so happy for Dule Hill. Sorry, just thinking about him again. Think about Mr. I Can Fix That. Yeah, you sure can. Okay, and you know what else you can do? We could
also wanted yes, to say please. I love I'm just gonna comment on everything you guys talked about. Jim Carrey is hot. I don't
thank
care
you
because I'm older now. I have my attraction to him has aged as I have aged, so I still think he's hot, even weirdo bearded Merlin face.
Good.
Jim Carrey is still hot.
Olivia dancing. And Olivia feeling vindicated.
I just love to meet people who are like-minded and share my opinions.
What I really think it is, I mean, of course, when he was, you know,
I mean,
conventionally attractive, gorgeous. He was, but he's also super talented, and that's what I'm attracted to. I've realized that.
Did you watch the? Oh, sorry, I interrupted you.
No, go ahead.
He is so talented, both comedically and dramatically. Like, can just has the range. But did you watch the documentary about the making of Man on the Moon?
No, I haven't.
It looked like it would make me really uncomfortable, and so I didn't watch it. It seems like cringe in a way that I like don't engage with.
It's the same reason you guys talked about his art and not liking that it exists. I refuse to look at it because I don't want it to lower him in my estimation. Yeah. I refuse to read the shit about his time with Jen McCarthy, and I refuse to look at his goddamn art. Like, he is pristine in my mind.
I think that's great. I think that's incredible.
Which is a grace that women give to men
all the time.
Too many times.
Sure.
For Jim Carrey, I will.
He's worth it.
And then I'll meet him, and he'll disappoint me in some way, but whatever. I love fantasizing about dating someone that I know will piss me off in 6 weeks. That's just my thing.
I think that would be a relationship where you guys would just have to keep things from each other. And not in, like, a secret hoarding way. Just, like, I don't need to find out too much about him. He doesn't need to find out too much about me. And that's how we'll make it work. Janelle and...
Yeah, very surface. Fuck all his conversations is what you're saying.
This is about two beautiful people being in a relationship together.
Out on boats. I guess he has an easel set up on the other end of the bow, and I just never go over there. I never say, hey, what are you painting? Because I don't want to know. It's gonna harm our relationship.
Wow. Well, I love to hear that. You know what else I love to hear, Janelle?
Yeah?
Who your icon. Tell us who your icon is.
My icon is Grace Jones. And, I mean.
Wow.
I feel like that's.
Well, thank you for coming on the episode.
You know, exactly.
Let's wrap it up.
Nothing
needs
to be said, you know, so.
Okay, so we.
Icon and iconic. She is all that. I feel like they made up the word icon for her. Like, it's just, she's transcendent. She's it.
So when was the moment? Olivia normally asks this question, and she asks it with grace. So instead, here I go, clunk, clunk.
Your IO goes kind of like. Talking it back.
Okay, awesome. Perfect. Janelle, we like to ask, you know, the question, when was the moment that you realized that Grace Jones was iconic? When was the moment that she sort of like clung to you as an icon?
I think I was maybe 12 or 13 when I saw a video for My Jamaican Guy. And this is right around the time where I discovered MTV, when MTV used to play music videos. And that was like one of the first music videos I had seen. She was like the blackest woman I had ever seen on TV. And she was just like so different that I was like, who is this? Like, I remember feeling like electrified seeing her for the first time and like doing my own research to find out who the fuck is this broad. And as, you know, as I learn more about her, like, you know, you have when you're a teenager, you're like, I'm going to be like this person. Like, she was the person for me for a long time. Like, I had just never seen anything like her, which is what I feel like everyone felt at that time. Not at that time, because she was out previous to when I seen her, but I'm sure when she arrived, you know, she's just.
It's like, who and how?
And So not to go, so that's the answer to that question.
Not keep going.
I'm gonna go on and on and on. No, I was going to say not to skip to the end, but also I want to, and has been maintaining it. She's still Grace Jones. Like, she's like, what is she, in her 80s now?
She's in her early 70s now.
Yeah, still.
Still, like,
that's.
She looks incredible still. She, like, still has the attitude, like.
Right, and is in a thing that I felt, I'm sure a lot of people at the time thought was a character. But now at 70, we see that is her. You know what I mean? Like, she's still Grace Jones. So it's just, I love it. I love her. I don't stand many people, and I stand Grace Jones. Like, I'll definitely.
I think it's like cool to stan Grace Jones, but precisely because it's like not a character. It's mm-hmm. like because it's like, oh no, this is really, she really is like this bitch. Like that yeah. is completely she dated, who she like, is.
She dated like the finest motherfuckers. Just and it, she just had this persona of, yeah, but it was like, yeah, I'm dating these guys, but I, who can, I'm Grish Jones. Like, don't even yeah. look at them. That he's a purse, okay? You know what I mean? It never became her identity that she was dating somebody yeah. else or whoever she was dating at the time. So, yeah, and then just to be as Black and Black signifying, not only Black, but African signifying, mm-hmm. I mean, in the 80s, in the early, all the way, I mean, it's still to now, but 90s, it was such a, you know, as where I grew up, such a, it was a insult to say, oh, you're from Africa.
Yeah.
Or you have African, you know, that wasn't that long ago. And, you know, so for her to be, and you know, I'm from the island. So at that time I still had an accent and all this thing. So for her to be so fucking Black, Jamaican, angled, androgynous, man eater, fucking top bitch. She was slapping people on TV. I was like, God damn. Like that's, she's the shit, you know? So she kind of got me through middle and high school too, a little bit, just her knowing that she exists.
That rules. We had like, Sydney Washington came on and talked about mm-hmm. Naomi Campbell, who was also somebody.
She was another. I went back and forth.
Yes.
I went back and forth, but I figured somebody had already done Naomi.
About, like, I mean, also, you know, my mom's from Barbados and Janelle, like, you're from the islands and, like, you know, there's something just about, like, Jamaican sense of self, shall I say. But just, like, that Jamaican attitude of, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I feel like, not that Black, of course, Black Americans have hard lives, but we have a hard life in different way, in a different way that kind of molds us mm-hmm. into like warriors, kind mm-hmm. of. I mean, people laugh at me because I say it so many times, but I've been working like physically since I was like 14, yeah. and that's most people from the islands, you know what I mean? So
I remember being like, 13 and my mom being like, so when are you going to get a job? And I'm like, oh, exactly. Will I get allowance? Isn't that what happens?
I was
like, no.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So even now people are like, how old are you? Because I've had so many jobs. I've had so mm-hmm. many life experiences. And I think with that, and then to come out of that and then to become something while being yourself, and that self is something that's so different and stands out and is like hated at the time when she came out is amazing. Amazing. Nobody can say anything about Grace Jones.
It came out. And that is the, to get the accent to come out feels like the championship of the whole of the whole episode.
Like, she can't, it's never been a get rid of her movement, anything, even though she was highly sexual. Like, yeah. You just can't.
No, it's,
get the fuck out
of it. Feels similar to Naomi Campbell, where it's like, you maybe, like, could, like, she and all those boyfriends were always, like, fighting physically in public, which mm-hmm. will come up in a later segment, but, like.
Naomi Campbell is the original diva.
Yeah. Mm.
A Black diva who could just slap people and nobody, and she still gets to exist. Mm-hmm. White women been doing that forever.
Yeah. It's like, there is something of like a certain kind of person. You're like, no, 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 that's just who she is. Like, that's just, yeah. we're just going to like, that's it.
Like, Naomi, I heard Naomi Campbell is a bitch. And everybody's like, yeah. She's a, oh, she's mean to everybody. Yes. Like, she.
It's like, we love it.
Love it. That's power.
Grace Jones is so interesting to me too, because like, I, you know, in preparation for this, I watched like a few interview clips of hers, and like there's this clip of her on the Tonight Show when Joan Rivers, sort of icon of kindness and personality, is like the guest host and interviews her, and it's so fascinating because Grace Jones is obviously very striking and intense mm-hmm. and not willing to change herself, but she does also have this like charm and this like beauty to her and this like effortlessness. But you know,
yeah.
in some ways, people were trying to treat her like she was a spectacle and trying to treat her because she looked a little bit differently and not like Eurocentric or demure like people, I think, might have wanted black women to be at that time. And I'm saying at that time, but honestly, all the time. And it's so just interesting to me how deftly she's able to handle people's like gaze on her. And how she's going to be like, whatever you think of me, you think of me. That's a reflection on you, not me. Like, I'm a boss.
And it's that makes me think, because I feel like that's something I used to have and it's gone away as I've gotten older. And I'm trying to get it back. But I feel like the gaze that, you know, not that I'm a celebrity, but people who are in the public eye, the gaze that is on us now is so different that I've kind of retreated from even being myself, because I don't, although Grace Jones had to hear people's opinions and write-ups about her, it's not like individual motherfuckers in Mississippi.
Yeah, people weren't like tweeting at Grace Jones being like, you angler ass bitch or whatever. Like,
exactly. And so it makes me upset that the internet has kind of made me retreat into myself a little bit. And so that means maybe I should get off. But that's, I forgot the point of what I was saying.
I do think, like, similar to Naomi again, just like there is something about like, because, you know, I was reading this thing and she was like, oh, I have like six siblings, like you had to just kind of like fight to be heard. And like there's something about like her whole demeanor where it's like, this is not this is like who you are, but this is also like how you like become Grace, like capital Grace Jones. Like, I don't think she would have, she's like stunning and striking, of course, but like the whole career comes with like the personality, like in addition to like the talent or whatever. But like, there, it feels like part of the reason she's like such an icon is that there's so much like myth around her and so much of like an aura around her that feels like she just had to be like that.
She became famous in a time where you could have myth and mystery and everybody doesn't want to know every move you make. Nobody's seen you go to Starbucks in your pajamas and shit. So you're able to have a character 24/7 because you are able to plan when you are going to be seen. Now that everybody has a fucking phone and, again, the internet, it's just, it's not.
Yeah, it's like it's we couldn't have like a, not as we fun. Couldn't have like a Grace Jones now, it feels like. Someone who like.
Well, I guess the next one was trying to be like a Lady Gaga, who is definitely. Who
Grace Jones does not like. Who Grace Jones is like, I mean, this bitch has tried to work with me so many times and she's just like, it's not. She, Grace Jones herself is like, all of these girls, it doesn't feel authentic. It's not like them styling themselves. It's not them doing the work. It's like they're trying hard to do what Grace did automatically.
Yes. And they're also trying to like bring back an era of something.
Yeah.
It's like, do something new, make it authentic, like actually be like, I don't know. Yeah, that's,
and Grace Jones, I will say that's one way I'm like her, in that try hard really turns me off. It makes me sick to my stomach, and I don't like people like that, who are just, if I can see the pursuit of fame, I hate you. If I can see you bending in a way or becoming someone, I hate it. I just, I can't stand inauthenticity. It makes me not trust you. So,
I think also just the idea of like, if there were to be a new Grace Jones, this is my, this is Io's take. We can throw it and agree, disagree. But I do think that they would have to also be like an activist at the same time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it would be hard for me to imagine that person.
What are you trying to say? What is your message? Yeah, that type of shit, you know? Instead of just existing.
Or like
Greta Thunberg is the new Grace Jones.
Oh Lord. Greta Thunberg. The little climate change girl.
The like little baby.
Oh yes.
Oh my god. Greta Thunberg.
Ugh, like, don't say that. My mouth tastes, I gotta take a sip of water.
Apologies. Apologies to Greta. Apologies to Grace. Apologies to the listeners.
So
How dare.
Janelle, you said that you got, you like saw her like on MTV and in music videos. Mm-hmm. Were you like a fan of mm-hmm. her music?
Well, you know, the hits.
Mm-hmm.
The My Jamaica Guy, the Pull Up
Pull Up to the Bumper is iconic.
It's so
and
good.
Also, my mom would sometimes be like, Pull Up to the Bumper. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? Why are you weird? And then I learned.
Yeah, she had a song on the Boomerang soundtrack. I can't remember what that one was, but I did like that.
I watched Boomerang for the first time with you.
That is, I totally forgot about that. That is true.
I watched that for the first time.
And for you to see Eddie Murphy, who is like your grandfather's age, have sex, I'm so sorry I put you through that. Your dad said, but you were just like, he's so old. Do you remember? Yeah, because I guess Halle Berry was his love interest, and she was very young in the movie.
She was so young, and it looked like, I say, like, pre-nose job. Like, I was shocked. It was also...
Yeah, it was definitely
pre-nose job. Yes. And a situation where she was, like, second lead. Like, she was, like, ugly in the
yes.
movie. And so...
Yes, they were like, you can't
that
be lead.
That was why I was saying
job.
That he was old to me. Not because of his age. I was just like, oh, if it's this...
I mean... No, I mean, I definitely looked at the movie in a different light after watching it. But yes.
And also my, like, young, like, you know, socially aware eyes. I was like, things about this are unethical.
She's a baby.
So, Slave to the Rhythm was hot. But also, you know, I was young when she was, like, deep in right. her music groove. Like, the club era and all that stuff. I was,
yeah, you
know,
weren't
I wasn't
to
the in clubs no. then. Yeah, so... Yeah, but definitely more about, again, like her myth and her presence than, not more, but equally mm-hmm. as her mm-hmm. music.
I went through a period where I was like a couple years ago where I was like really obsessed with Studio 54 because it was just like, it was just like a doomed proposition from the start. And but mm-hmm. like the people who went there, like Grace Jones, were just like, they were all like, oh, you had the time of your life yeah. when you were at Studio 54.
Frequently say that I was born in the wrong era. I also went through a Studio 54 fixation phase where I was just like, if I was in the 70s, you know, I mean, anyone who truly knows me and I even start that sentence, they say you would be dead because I would have been queen of excess.
Oh my God.
Do we all agree that I would
so
definitely be dead? I would be somebody's girlfriend and it would be like, and we have no idea where the girlfriend went after this.
No, I think I would have, I don't think I would die, but I do think I would have, like, OD'd after spending a night with Liza Minnelli at Studio 54, well, and my parents would be like, come home now, and I'd be like, okay.
Your whole thing would be that you lived to tell the tale, and then
yeah, exactly.
about it.
Look,
yeah.
Like, you know.
I was there, I came close to death.
Uh-huh, look, Sarah Schulman
whether
style.
I actually died, or I just fried my brain.
Exactly.
And
oh.
Wandering listlessly in a robe. I am
my brain would be so cooked if I had lived through, like, Studio 54 era. Like, it just absolutely destroyed.
Like, wrapped in furs in like a documentary like about Studio 54 and I would just be like little shriveled, like, you know, the old lady in SpongeBob.
Yes, like, SpongeBob's
like
mom,
fried little ancho- yeah. So like that, but wrapped in furs with big sunglasses, and then
yes.
and there'd be like moments in the documentary where they just used me as transition because the rest of my interview was so unusable.
No, I would want them to like, I would want them to show like a gorgeous, stunning photo of me at Studio 54 with like the lights like flashing in the background. I'm wearing the most gorgeous outfit and then like transition to me and my furs like all wrinkled being like, it was the best time of my life. That's...
My flashback scene is me on roller skates in the club. I have on a bathing suit top. I pulled both sides of it to the side so my breasts are free. I'm just spinning in a circle with my titties out. And then you flash the present day. My titties are still out, but I'm just open. Behind me is my skates that I have had.
Mine would be, you know, like...
dipped in gold.
mine would be like a flashback of me like railing lines on I'm riding a horse through the club full speed, and I'm going back and forth trying to rail as many lines as possible. Then we cut to me in my house absolutely shivering, facing away, like face parallel to camera, and you see a mounted horse head in the background of my what do you want, a memory? I've got a thousand, you know, something like that.
Oh boy, those were the days.
Those were the days that none of us were there.
That we have never experienced.
None of us will ever experience ever again. Do you think after quarantine, okay, I've been having this sort of back and forth in my mind. Do you think after quarantine we will enter a space of excess or one of retreat?
Okay, I've been thinking about this a lot too, and I truly don't know. I can't tell, because I do know that I will want a party, but I also think that I am like too smart to be just like, ah! So like, yes. I don't know. What do you think?
I do think that there will be an excess, but it won't be for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think,
because things are gonna get bad before they get
unfortunately. I hate to say this, like, this literally hurts my heart, Olivia, I don't think the excess will be for us. I think it will be for our children. Because
so I'll be dead. I won't be Studio 54 or the fucking after quarantine celebration.
You'll be
That's
there
bullshit.
You'll just literally be 100 and everyone will be like, she's gonna die here, right?
Both titties out.
I think it's going to be, like, because, okay, I read that Vice article that everybody else read of the guy who, like, in 2012 predicted that the collapse was going to be 2020, and we run in a cycle of 50 years. So if we're the 60s, right, then it's going to be, like, 70s, 80s. So that's, like, not really us.
I'm so pissed that my kids are going to be titties out at the club.
I'm not happy.
But also, you know, like, they are going to have to deal with, like, you know, the actual collapse of, you know, Earth, probably. So it's like, you know what?
Even better.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know what? Actually, you deserve to like go do as much cocaine as you want to.
The party scene from The Matrix 2. Yeah. Everyone's just wearing leather and writhing on each other, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea, but it's that sucks that I'm going to miss both of them.
Right. It's like born at the absolute wrong time. It's like I missed the 70s and the 2040s.
2000s, which was excessive in its own way.
Well,
like I came up during I was saying my party era was in the early 2000s, which was excessive in its own way. Like I came up through the bottle popping era.
Oh, wow.
That was my club, you know. The VIP and the bottle girls and the puff daddies. So we had first.
That's the thing.
I feel like this is
the fur-less generation.
I was gonna say, Iowa and I have never had furs, except like ironically on like skinny white girls who live in Bushwick, which is like annoying.
I know, annoying.
What's the point?
Right, and we don't have any handed down furs.
I feel like there are going to be. Well, rich people right now are definitely having parties.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're living a totally different experience than we are.
I saw some video of all these, like, TikTok kids having, like, a big party at one of their, like, TikTok mansions. And I got so pissed. I got so pissed at those kids who are still playing beer pong. It's like, why? Why?
I feel like one of the worst parts of this pandemic is the people who are doing what they're supposed to do is having to watch the people who are still living as if nothing is going on. It makes you feel crazy. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck? Why have I been in the house for 4 months?
Like, who am I sacrificing for if you're being annoying?
Wait, what do you guys think Grace Jones is doing in quarantine?
Grace is in a farmhouse in Greenland.
I think she lives in France or specifically Paris now, maybe.
Right, but I feel like she's left. She's flown to the country, the countryside, and she has her lover, whoever that is at this time, and two sheepdogs.
Love.
And she has,
of course not.
No sheep.
Ew.
Just to come out, go to the edge of the cliff and stand side by side, like in the morning, like that kind of sheepdog vibe. And she has horses. She does that. Not the taking care of them, just the walking next to them, strikingly. And yeah, she's just kind of waiting it out, I think. Maybe she has an in studio in, you know, she's doing some music work while she's there. I think she's like hiding out. She is 70.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And she reminds me of Tina Turner, who like moved to a castle. You know what I mean?
Oh, Tina Turner. Doesn't she live in like in Switzerland or something? Yeah, with like her very wealthy husband. Yes. Like huge.
That's what I see and want for Grace. Mm. That's what I hope she's doing. Mm.
I gotta manifest that for myself.
Yes.
I might as well. Well, you know, she wasn't just a musician. She was also an actor. And we referenced her role in Boomerang, which definitely left something on my psyche. I don't know if for the better or for the worse. But she also was known for screen presence and her acting roles. Anybody watch Conan the Destroyer? Anybody watch James Bond?
I, of course, have never seen a James Bond movie. So,
Of course.
One of the facts of this podcast is that I've never seen a James Bond and kind of refuse to. Hmm. So no is the answer to that question.
It's weird because I want to be like, what? But on the other hand, I'm like, you're fine.
Yeah, right? I don't feel like I'm missing that much.
Maybe just watch Grace Jones's appearance on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the James Bond movies, like especially the older ones, were always something that like if I was like at a cousin's house or, you know, like all the adults were in one room and they just sent us all off to another room. And then like on, I don't know, TNT or like Spike, there would be
a James Bond.
James Bond. Playing in between commercials like that or Baywatch. And I'd be like,
commercials.
I'd be like, I guess I have watched this at some point.
I mean, also, you can also look up one of the very early ones with Roger Moore and just marvel at how racist they are. Like, I hadn't seen the original James Bond until like a couple of years ago. And I went into it knowing they would be racist, but was still shocked, like open mouth shocked
at how racist they are.
So it's, yeah, so it's interesting to watch them in that way. Like, this is what was allowed on television. It's very shocking. Yeah.
Just blatant racism.
Yeah, just there. Like, I went in like, oh, this shit is about to be some bullshit. And I was shocked. And just, yeah, the misogyny. I mean, you know, his whole, and the fact that he's not hot at all is also so upsetting.
It's rude.
So upsetting.
Well, also that,
pulling these pussy galores and such.
It's bad writing as well, which is sort of the painful part. Yeah. Is that, well, the writing could at least be kind of good. And no.
Right. So wait, name is pussy galore. What are the good James Bond? I think is that Sean Connery or the new ones?
I mean, I like with the ugly face guy, the newer ones.
Yeah, Daniel Craig.
Those are just more
action movies. He is ugly face, Olivia.
I like that face. I think people think he's hot. I don't know. I think he looks like a man, but like.
Huh. Okay.
He looks like he walked through a fire. But anyway. What?
Okay, well, all the Twin Peaks Firewalk with Me fans, you know what it is.
Rise up.
Rise up and take Daniel Craig as your own.
Dude, when they announced Daniel Craig as a new James Bond, people lost their minds. James Bond is supposed to be handsome. Da, da, da. I mean, Roger Moore was not the, if anything, he's the most handsome, even with an ugly face. It's so weird. He at least has presence. Yeah. The other ones were just... There was another one in between. Like, I can't even remember him. He's so unremarkable.
Pierce Brosnan, not Sean Connery.
Pierce Brosnan.
Timothy Dalton?
Isn't he the one people don't like? Timothy Dalton?
Yeah.
I mean, like, listen, I have no attachment to this.
Yeah.
To any of them.
Of course.
But no, Pierce Brosnan was supposed to be, like, the handsome Bond.
Speaking of Halle Berry. She's a Bond girl in one of his movies. I know that.
But the fact that this guy could pull Halle Berry at her peak. Get the fuck out of here.
Pierce Brosnan is hot.
Pierce Brosnan is hot.
Not pulling Halle Berry hot. He's not. He's hot for an older white man.
Okay, wait. Am I wrong? Do they fuck on a bed of diamonds in that movie? Isn't that one of the things?
Think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that hot.
Fuck Halle Berry on a bed of diamonds?
No, because that would hurt. You know?
Well, sure, but like, not many people are hotter. Who's hot enough to fuck Halle Berry on a bed of diamonds?
There's plenty.
Okay, wait, this is a good question.
But who's also like an actor? Cause like,
I know.
Because like, okay, no, I'm just setting out the rules of the game.
Okay.
No, I'm setting out the rules of the game.
Who's also an actor? I was gonna say,
okay, go.
No one. Crickets.
Anybody? Okay, maybe I'll say this. Okay, let me know. Morris Chestnut in his prime, maybe.
He doesn't give me better
even
diamonds,
my head
though.
I said it, I think it's head, like, I said I'm lying.
Yeah,
is it like,
it's a very, and that's why it's always controversial when whoever they cast as Bond, because you gotta only not only be handsome but have the vibe of someone who can fuck somebody on a bed of
diamonds. Yeah. Okay, how do we feel about like Winston Duke?
Winston Duke.
I don't know. No, I actually think of hard no.
Because I just think he has to be, like, big, you know?
Olivia.
This is just, like, my thing.
Yeah, this
I don't...
is, like, your fantasy. I didn't want to, like...
Listen, no, I just think...
Olivia's like, what if Winston Duke's fucking on a bed? You guys think that's possible?
Do you guys think he'd be...
on a bed of diamonds? Yeah.
Yeah. So, just kind of opening that up to the world, if Winston Duke wants to fuck me on a bed of diamonds,
I mean,
that
yeah,
could happen.
Okay, sure. What's his name from, no, that's not it.
Because it's not like Denzel either. It's like,
and this
no.
is also like a My timeless favorite. Answer. Okay, see, like, I wish that Henry Golding was like a slightly better actor.
But even he, I don't know if he's bed of diamonds.
If we beefed him up.
Oh, so now he has to be beefy.
I'm just saying, like, we gave him, if you're casting somebody in a Marvel movie, they go on the Marvel diet. So
sure.
If we put Henry Golding on the James Bond diet, maybe.
Let me Google this guy. Henry Golding?
Yeah, he was the one in Crazy Rich Asians.
Okay, so I'd have to see him act because I didn't see that movie. You gotta be suave, you know what I mean? Do you guys watch The Good Wife? I noticed you guys said Christine Baranski earlier.
I've watched episodes.
You guys see? You wouldn't know, but there's a guy on there that I. Anyway, this is going off the rails. The point is,
no, this is the tone of the podcast. It's mostly us just like thinking and thinking ourselves into horniness, and then backing out of it. Going back into horniness.
This is my kind of show. Then okay, so I mean, Pierce Brosnan is hot. It's just,
who's the guy? Can you describe him?
He has a really deep voice.
Is he
okay? God, what is his name? I have a picture. He's on my screen right now, and I can't figure out who he is. His name is Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Wait, okay, hold on, Janelle. Wait a minute.
What? That reveal.
What?
Wait a minute. Okay.
You don't like Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
It's like, I'm like, this obscure actor.
I don't know if Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Well, maybe.
It's less about how he looks and how he acts. The characters he does gives me, I can pull Halle Berry and fuck her on a bed of diamonds. It's all I'm saying. Pierce Brosnan, while hot, is kind of soft in a way. He's not giving me bed of diamonds. Like I said, he's giving me thousand count thread sheet.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving me balcony bed with like drapery around it.
90s sort of like, yes, pillowy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Love scene that's suggested. Yes, of course.
Eye contact.
Mm-hmm. Do you have someone? Have you named your person who you think could do it?
Well, I said maybe Taye Diggs in his prime.
You said Morris Chestnut in his prime.
Hey, Diggs.
I did, and that was my second.
I would do.
Taye Diggs is, I don't know if that's it.
Taye Diggs can fuck me on a bed of diamonds.
So, anyway, all we've proved is that it's really hard.
That's true.
To be Bond.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing about being a woman, right? You have to be Halle Berry, and you can be a stub of a toe.
Here's the thing is that Grace Jones could fuck Halle Berry on the Bed of Diamonds, and we'd all say, yes. Yes, of course, that's exactly what should be happening here.
Easily. There's no male Grace Jones. No. Man with that energy. And not that there isn't any men with that energy, but they don't become actors.
Right. You turn into like David Bowie or like Prince or something like that. Damn, why aren't male actors, like, fun? You know? Who's fun?
That's a male actor?
Yeah. Or, like, interesting, or, like, I mean, dresses in an interesting way.
Like, George Clooney thinks that he's fun.
No, not that kind of fun. Not on-set pranks fun. I'm talking about, like...
To watch,
like, that, like, wear interesting clothes or, like, say... Oh, it's Ezra Miller.
Who's the guy from, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind?
Sam Rockwell?
I think he's interesting.
He's got something.
Yeah.
He's definitely like odd.
That's okay, so maybe less
interesting. Sam Rockwell is sad to me because I feel like I loved him so much in his early career. And then as he got more successful, I went, what's happening? I don't like this for you.
Ah, I don't know what he's done lately that I just know him.
Yeah.
Early on. I only know early on.
Three Sam. Billboards. That's Sam.
Oh. I forgot.
Last fun. Yeah, and that's the thing. You just forget. I feel like my last fun Sam Rockwell movie is Moon.
Yeah.
He's fun in The Way, Way Back, which is a movie I saw in theaters for some reason. That is not very good, but he's funny in it. So.
That's why you saw Olivia, because you are yourself.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yes, that's true, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Brad Pitt seems pretty fun still. Well, he chose his, like, fun roles.
That's true.
Doesn't seem to take himself seriously, even though he could
have. Brad Pitt is our last fun actor.
Yeah.
Emmy nominated for playing Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Slay King.
Slay King Brad Pitt.
Hashtag resistance.
Yeah. Like
hashtag five minutes on SNL can get you an Emmy nomination.
The fucking glow about this dude for much of his career. He has every excuse to be a gigantic asshole, and I've never heard anything bad about him.
I know.
Other than his, you know.
Brad Pitt, come on the pod. Jennifer Aniston. We have nothing bad to say about you.
Who would Brad Pitt pick?
Probably it would either be like somebody who he's friends with or like some random Indian director.
I think it would be like some weird musician. I think it'd be like...
He'd be like Beck.
No, you know what randomly popped into my mind? I was like, Brad Pitt would pick India Arie. I don't know why. That's just what I thought.
Brad Pitt loves black people.
That's what I'm saying.
We know this.
But wait, what are we saying? Pick in what way?
If the pod.
Oh, as his icon? Yeah. No, he'd probably disappoint us by choosing somebody from the Rat Pack or some corny bullshit. He'd be like, Sinatra. He'd be like,
my icon is Audrey Hepburn.
We'd be like, okay, Kang, go off.
Slay King.
Sure.
Thank you, Dr. Fauci.
Whatever.
I'd rather that than what I think he would say.
Dare you?
My friend, George Clooney.
Yeah.
Be funny to pick your famous friend as an icon. It's so stupid. Be like, when we were doing Oceans, blah, 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 blah.
Olivia, let's do an episode where I pick you and you pick me.
We'd have to get a third party or else we'd just be talking about ourselves for an hour.
I could talk about you for an hour, Olivia.
I could talk about you for an hour, but I don't know if people want to listen to that.
No, they don't. But I think I know
No, I was going to say, back to Grace Jones, frequently just pull up pictures of her and Dolph Lundgren just to look
at. That was what I was going to talk about.
Well, this is a good segue into People's Court. Bang, bang on the gavel.
Hello. And if you thought my ham-fisted segue wasn't going anywhere but that, you're wrong. Olivia, talk to us about People's Court.
Okay, People's Court is when I hack into EBSCOhost via a middle school somewhere in these 50 United States that has their password public, and find an old magazine article, journal article, newspaper article about the icon in question. Today, you know, Grace Jones been in People Mag, like, from the 70s. Like, she has been in these pages forever. And so part of why Dolph Lundgren is famous is because he dated Grace Jones, and, like, that's how he got his role in Rocky. And so we have this article from 1985, December 1985, talking about their, like, kind of psychotic relationship. And they're talking about being at a club. So they describe Grace Jones as Amazonian and Dolph Lundgren as her 6'5" and a half Viking lover taking to the dance floor. And they say they start fighting on the dance floor, and Dolph, 26, finished by ripping off Grace's trademark hood, which sent her to the showers, the ladies' room, actually, and gave him the decision on a TKO. So what did it all mean? It was just a scene, says the 32-year-old singer/actress, who adds that such quasi-violent horseplay is commonplace in their lives. We were pulling our punches. Mm. We're both very physical. Oh. We fight about a lot of things, like going to bed early. I like going to bed late. He likes going to bed early. And we make love passionately as we fight. Okay, wow. This woman is 32 years old with her 26-year-old BF fighting in the club.
I have slid out of
and
my
then
chair
going to, like, floor. Fuck it off.
Wow.
That's, like, her whole energy. And then it goes on to say, like, this scene is why Sly Stallone was like, this is the guy. And that Dolph Lundgren was just, like, a security guard and, like, a martial arts instructor before. And, like, he and Grace met and she started bringing him around. And they were like, this is it. This is the dude. Psycho.
I love it. That's just my type
of
dysfunction.
That's what I was gonna say.
Like, fighting, I mean, to this day I've had now I'm gonna say too much about myself, but I have found out, especially in quarantine, now that I've had time to think about things, I've had boyfriends tell me that I always want to have sex at the wrong time. I will be mid-fight and say, do you want to fuck? Mm-hmm. Like, I like it. I like the whole fake tussle that you do when you're in the beginning of a relationship, where you, like, play wrestle. I don't know what that is. I'm sure I saw it in 80s movies. And that's what I think, you know, romance is. But I love the idea of that. Like, oh, we fake fight. We just start shit.
Yeah.
I have my best performances when I have a text fight right before I go on stage. Like, I am addicted to that type of drama. And that it's not good, but I'm sure the sex was amazing.
Oh, yeah. It seems very obvious that Grace Jones doesn't, like, take up with men who are bad in bed, like, at yes. all. It's just like, why would she ever do that?
Why? Exactly. For the honor of climbing on me, Grace Jones, you better fucking bring it. Like, come on.
Listen, she wants what she wants and she's gonna get it.
And that's what I've always liked about her. Mm. She just is. And, you know, I try it at smaller doses.
It seems like so much work. It seems like so much work to, like, commit full time to that lifestyle.
Like, yourself, like,
no, just to like, no. Just to the idea of, like,
I agree with you, Alia.
I agree with me. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It is a lot of work. You gotta, like, sometimes you gotta concede and you gotta be like, you know what? Fine.
But do you? Or can you just be Grace Jones? Do you have to concede, you know?
I don't know if I'm, like, hot enough to be, like, I think so, like, you know, if my face were more angular.
But that's what I'm saying. A Grace Jones would not say, am I hot enough? A Grace Jones would say, I am hot. You know, like, you just are.
Damn.
It's not even a wonder.
This is reminding me of, shout out, ready for this, articles, a piece by Jasmine Hughes that was about, like, learning how to braid her own hair in quarantine, and how mm-hmm. she was somebody, and I just, like, identified with the section a lot, who basically taught herself to, like, devalue physical experience because she wanted to, like, value her mind and, like, being an intellectual more. And she was like, well, girls who braid their own hair, dedicate time to weaves, and, like, looking hot all the time are more vapid, and I'm not interested in being that type of person. And why not both, Olivia? I posit to you.
You're right. Why not both?
I don't posit that to myself because I know why, because I'm lazy, but I posit it to you.
Hello. I will say, I got to go look that up because I feel like that's what I did when I got into comedy. Like when I first started comedy, I would dress up more. I would dress more feminine, because that's really who I am, or at least who I was at that time. And because I wanted to be seen as a comedian and not as a female comedian, I stopped doing everything. Yeah. And then once you stop, you realize how much work it is, and then you become lazy.
Yes. He's 100%.
It's so much work to be beautiful all the time. It really is. And if that's not the focus of your career, that's why you can't compare yourself to Instagram girls. Like, their job is to look like that.
Even like actors,
they're not
and
looking
stuff.
Like that.
Like,
yeah, but they're not. But at least actors act as well.
Right.
Yeah, the like
Instagram people, their sole focus is looking good. Like, you cannot. Mm-hmm.
No, your whole job is to have one pore, and the pore is your
exactly.
mouth.
And
everything else is closed, has a film of skin over it.
Or even just like the editing of the photo, like just like all of it. Just
I can't even be bothered to learn filters. Like, I cannot. Yeah. I'm like, the day I feel like my skin isn't good enough to post, I'll just stop posting. I cannot even.
It's just a day off.
I don't want to. I feel like it's such a hole to fall down. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I just don't even.
Doing
I'm
my
like,
hair.
Eva, I'm going to catch good light.
Like, when I try to follow
Everything.
One of those Instagram girls' hair, and, you know, it's like, oh, that's why you have time lapses, because this is taking me 7 hours.
Forever. Exactly.
To try to get my hair, like, fluffy in a way that it's not going to be, because, like, my mother isn't from Sweden. Like,
Right. Right. And at this point, if it's not hitting me monetarily, then I don't
want
it.
It's just not going
to
hit.
You know what I mean? I don't want to spend the time. They are getting paid to look good. And that's why it's okay to spend that many hours doing it. But if it's not effective, I mean, I'm sure we're still in the entertainment industry. I know I could become a workout fiend and get a whole other level of money by being more attractive. But I'm too lazy. Like you said, I have no interest anymore at this point. Now, once you get a team and all of that shit, then sure, why not? Who don't want to be beautiful all the time? But by myself, fuck that.
That's, you know, that's the lesson of
so much
Hot Kumail. He got that Marvel team behind him, got jacked.
Yeah.
That's good for him.
And that money motivation, I started saying on my self-tapes, like, as before I slate, like, hey, I'll lose weight for this role, but I won't lose it before I get it. Tell me I got it, I'll lose it. But I'm not going to be walking around starving for no reason. You fucking crazy? Anyway.
I vote yes on this. And I vote yes on playing a little game. One that we played earlier. Except we're going to do this one with a little twist. Yep, it's time for your old favorite, Fuck, Marry, Kill. But this time, instead of doing it with people, we're going to do it with moments of Grace Jones's life and personality and public persona. So we're going to gather these moments, and we're going to play a little game. How's that sound, Janelle?
Sure.
Perfect answer.
I mean, yay! All right, yay!
Okay, so our three moments to fuck, to marry, to kill. Okay. I guess I will start picking. I'm going to say number one, I'm going to say like the influence. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Which might already, you know, give us an answer that we've got. But just like the influence, like she basically every single person who is like cool.
No, every pop girl like for the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Has
like,
been
from
trying
Annie
to
Lennox
do
to like Solange.
Yeah. Oh my God. For sure. And everyone in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
your lords. Your Nile Rodgers.
Robin.
Your
like.
Yeah. I mean, Lady Gaga. Duh.
Lady Gaga. Duh. Katy Perry. Like.
Mm-hmm.
They all want what she has. Okay. That's one.
And it's also not even. It's like. It's just like she said. It's not even that they're mimicking or taking her style. Their stylists are.
Yeah.
Grace Jones dressed herself.
Yeah.
She was her own, you know. She came up with the style.
Well, because every single fashion house was like, please, can you?
Yeah, wear our shit,
please?
Yeah. But she also not only wore it, but wore it in a way that they probably didn't anticipate, which made it cool.
Okay, so influence. I'll say, just for fun, like the high days of disco, like Studio 54, making a scene at the club, like all of that kind of wrapped up. Okay.
And then I'm going to just say, like, sort of working in the abstracts here. I'm going to say...
Is it like personality? Is it like,
that's,
you know,
what I was thinking.
Yeah, like sort of not even like wearing a mask, just like being who you are absolutely all the time.
How does, okay. Influence, personality, disco. Olivia.
Yes.
Fuck, marry, kill.
Okay. I am going to marry personality. Which is, I think, at times going to sometimes be a rocky ride, but ultimately, like rewarding and like kind of a no secrets kind of thing. Like, good. I'm going to fuck disco. Just like one crazy night of passion and mayhem and whatever. And I'm going to kill influence because those girls, those other girls, who cares? Ayo?
I am going to marry the influence because, you know me, I love power. I love progeny. I'm gonna fuck the personality just because I think that would just be like, just we just get in there, we get out, both just have a good time, real straightforward, everybody's coming, then we leave. And unfortunately, that means I'm going to have to kill disco. I just want to make sure I don't go too hard and pass away.
That's totally okay.
Janelle, to close.
Yes.
What are you going to fuck, Mary
Kay? I am going to fuck influence because I too like power and the fact that there's nobody else like her. Anytime, it's the same with comedy. Anytime someone can mimic you, that means you're the thing. You know what I mean? Like if you're doing something and people are like, that's Grace Jones, you doing Chris Rock, you doing that's influence. Yeah. And that's so powerful and hot to me. So fuck influence. I'm going to marry personality. Same as what she said, you know, it's going to be, like she said, a rocky road, but I just think I'll won't be bored, which is the death of me. That's death to me. Is being bored. And kill. What's the last one? Kill disco on Forge.
Well, last days.
I didn't kill it. Video killed the radio.
And Janelle killed disco.
Janelle killed disco. Only to be reborn as something else, like Grace Jones did when disco died. She came back out.
I love it so much. All right. Well, before we have our verdict. Do we want to say any last words on Grace Jones? Olivia, would you like to start?
Yeah, I was doing my research and I think 5 years ago she headlined Afropunk, Titties Out at Afropunk in 2015 when she was 67 or something. And, you know, if that's not iconic, then I don't know what is. Just like to be like still kind of surprising and interesting when people would forgive you for not being that at when you get older, I think is again a testament to the fact that this is just like who she is. And like it's not a game, it's not a character, it's like this is her personality. And like that to me is kind of iconic.
Yeah.
I will say, and I like Madonna, and I've been to a lot of her concerts and stuff, but I think it's interesting that people always tell Madonna to sit down. Nobody ever tells Grace Jones to go away. And it's because we kind of feel, even though she's done it well, Madonna is a I don't know what the word, but she pieced together different personalities to make mm-hmm. hers. She's not
right.
who she is. You know what I mean? And the personality she is now on Twitter is really who she is, which is unfortunate. She should not let us see that. But anyway.
Well, this is the problem with when people who thrived on mystery and
suddenly revealed to be
incredibly unmysterious and insane.
They're exactly. So Icon is the point.
Aya?
I just think one of the things that I think about with Grace Jones when she first comes to mind is so many of like these iconic images that mm-hmm. she's also been a part of, and a lot of them were photographed by her now ex, Jean-Paul Goud.
Mm-hmm. How sexy is that name? I don't even care what he looked like.
There's another People article that I didn't use where they talk about their fights, and it is like bloody, like literally bloody.
Yes.
But they were together for a long ass time.
A really long time. And the father of Grace Jones's son, who's also like, can I say it? Hot, duh.
That's the thing about her too. She didn't, it's not even like she bopped around, which isn't a bad thing, but she managed to have long-term mm-hmm. hot relationships. Mm-hmm. Like that's, she's had lovers, if I may say so.
You did. Lovers. So, hey, who's gonna fault you? Not me.
That's the dream.
But yeah, she like those images just, I think, are so ingrained in like what also just like a time felt like and looked like. And she set so much of the aesthetic tone of, I think, like late 70s and 80s and things that are even like still copied today. Definitely some of those photographs are unfortunate, I think, and there's clearly like a French man's gaze on a black mm-hmm. woman, which comme on dit en raciste, fétichiste, but
donc
yes, really scary, and very much a white man being like, ooh, black woman. You know, she just did set so much of like a tone, and literally I think is also part of the reason why he is seen as an iconic photographer.
Yeah. For sure.
Grace Jones.
Yeah.
You know, like she elevated people's careers and senses of art and just aesthetic.
Just dragging white men up behind her. Yeah. As we still do.
Yes.
As we still
yes.
do.
Like,
ugh, never ending.
Literally. I mean, there's so many of them. But like boosted his career, like was his muse, yeah. helped boost Andy. Like, I mean, Andy Warhol obviously was like, you know, a figure in his own right, but like their careers were intertwined. Like mm-hmm. Keith Haring, mm-hmm. who is like obviously iconic, mm-hmm. like painted her, like mm-hmm. was a muse for Issey Miyake and Mugler. Like she is a big deal. She was a big deal. And is the reason why people felt like inspired to create. And if that is not right. the hallmark of an icon.
No, if you're sorry. Like a literal muse,
yes.
if you're someone's literal not even one person, no. but like multiple people
multiple
across like
music,
years and years and years.
But also still having your own career.
Like, yeah, not exactly. Just like not just like the sideline, like Bianca Jagger, like mm-hmm. no offense, but like
no
right. offense to Bianca Jagger.
Not
but,
Kate Hudson and Almost Famous.
Yes, exactly. She's,
no groupie,
yeah.
you know?
No groupie, no Fabletics line. She's out here.
Right. She's like, catch up to me and I might sit for your painting.
Exactly, maybe, yeah.
If I like it, which I might not.
And I will slap you when I don't.
In public, it's my right.
In public, it'll be bloody. Good day.
A lot of these Jean-Paul Goud pictures. Pretty racist. Well, anyway, you know, she was subject to like fetishism, but also like still endured and was her own thing and wasn't unafraid to say like, no, this is like because I have worth and I have value and I'm cool as hell. I just think that's great.
Yes.
So
she's cool. She's
yes.
My last thing on her. I am very invested in non-manufactured cool. I always feel so I've never really paid attention to the industry mm-hmm. and I still try not to. But I always feel, and I'm sure that has to do with me being older, but the people that you're told are cool are never the coolest. And it takes a while for you to figure that out. And Grace Jones has always been cool. Like, she is what I think of when I think of that word. And I think it's bestowed on too many people now.
Yes.
Easily. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's like, I mean, back to just like the now of it all and the social media and like the artifice of it all. I mean, are you ready for this hot take? Social media fake. But you can craft any image you want. And because of like, I feel like this combination of like aesthetic and algorithm, like anybody who feeds into it becomes like interesting or
by proxy.
Even though they're really not.
Nerds! No, I'm joking. I'm Yeah, it's a little it's interesting to watch. I'm trying to be out one toe out while staying on the sidelines willingly by choice. I'm very careful about what I do.
Yeah.
And how I present myself.
That's what I love about you.
I don't think Grace Jones did that though, so it's a conundrum. But I'm living in a different time.
Yeah, I think we get to account for that.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah. Is this it? Is this the show?
Well, almost.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Should we vote, Io? I feel like this is one of those ones where it's just
where
we
kind of know. Yeah, but we vote on if we think this person's going to be an icon or not. So I'll start. I'm going to go with an I.
That's yes. Yes.
And Janelle?
I mean, I brought her on here, so y'all already know.
Okay, so.
I'm waiting for somebody to say no.
Yeah.
No, I could never.
Fight, yeah.
I'll break quarantine to beat your ass.
Well, I would let you do it. I would.
That would be very grace of you.
You're like, please beat my ass. Someone just touched me. Please.
No, you're not wrong. Okay, well, the yeses have it. Grace Jones, an icon. Before we close, we got to play a quick little vroom vroom. So vroom vroom is the game where we craft a vehicle. Vroom vroom. Do you get it? Okay, I love that sound.
Yeah.
We craft a vehicle for an actor who we feel has not gotten their due, who, why not? Let's give him an Oscar. So we try to write a movie, come up with the premise of a movie to give them an Oscar.
Okay, I have the list up.
Yes.
Should we ask Janelle if she wants to play or be our producer?
Yeah. So Janelle, you can either choose to play and one of us will drop out. And you can come up with your own movie. It's a minute. It's 30 seconds on the clock?
It's
30 seconds on the clock. Or you can be the Hollywood hotshot producer and pick which movie you'd want to produce and make in order to win this actor an Oscar and tell us why.
Oh, man. I'll be producer.
Okay. I have the list up and I think I have a good option for us that I don't think we've done.
Okay.
Let us win Tandy Newton an Oscar.
So underrated. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Io, do you want to go first?
I just got, I think I can.
Okay. I'll give you 30 seconds on the clock. Mm-hmm. Ready, set, go.
Okay, we are going to follow Tandy Newton in a modern day drama that's going to take place in real time as she goes to try to find her son who's a drug addict. So it's sort of Ben's back, but in real time and better, because Tandy Newton will also play a recovering addict, and it's going to be
seconds.
In London, Brixton, tough. We're going to get to see her be a little bit more natural, spare down, but still hold those acting chops together.
Time.
Okay, Olivia, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time begins now.
Okay, so Tandy Newton is the lead role in a new Jordan Peele movie. It's about it is about I'm losing it. It's about how it's she's a mother in it, and her kids are mixed, just like they are in real life. And they, I don't know, they try to fucking kill her or something. I'm losing steam here. I'm so sorry. I don't look at me like that. I got too excited about Jordan. I give up. I'm sorry. I concede, honestly. That was my worst showing.
I just did Bella's back, but British.
I know. I got so excited about Tandy being in a Jordan Peele movie that I fully like lost the steam. No, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it.
I feel like Olivia thinks just the Jordan Peele angle.
I know, and usually it does.
You could have finished the sentence.
I just didn't think of a plot. I just like started.
Yeah.
I don't have his mind.
I mean, it could be. It's a Jordan Peele. I'm trying to help you workshop this.
No, yeah. What do you think it is?
It's like a Jordan Peele movie that's about. So it's about blackness. Maybe they move into like an affluent black neighborhood or something. But right. She's mixed but and her husband is white.
And so it's like a flip of like. What?
And I do like the mixed kids angle in that. They look like they're past. They look like they're white, so they're passive. Mm-hmm. And people think she's adopted her own kids, and so that passive aggression drives her crazy, and she becomes a killer in some kind of way.
Maybe people are trying to like take her kids away from her, or the black people in her neighborhood also like don't really think she's like they. Maybe they. I don't know. They start getting involved. Something shady. Yeah.
See, you guys ran away with this. Good job. That's incredible.
Olivia. What's
now? I know your movie. Yes. I mean, I've seen it before.
Yes.
And I didn't understand. She goes to look for her son, but she's also a
recovering addict. So we learned this about halfway through the movie. She's a recovering addict, and so then the stakes get raised.
And the son is as well,
huh?
The son is an addict as well.
And so he's missing. But then we find out halfway through that she's a recovering addict, which is one, why she feels so intense, but also why it gets harder, because as she gets deeper into the world of drugs, she becomes tempted, maybe even has to
And it's in real time, right?
Yes, it's real time. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like a two-hour movie that takes place over 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I mean, this sounds kind of like a Crash, which was an overrated movie that won an Oscar, so maybe you can do it twice.
Something like that.
Maybe, you know.
something like Crash meets Ben is Back meets Victoria.
I think that's you know, in the room, a great pitch.
I think it is a good pitch. And if I lose, it's because I helped you make your pitch better.
No, I feel like Io's is definitely a more well-rounded
Absolutely.
And thank you.
Plausible movie. A Jordan Peele and Trail Off isn't just, it's just not gonna do it. I got millions. Dollars here. I'm trying to put
this
out.
This is why Janelle is working because
I know,
because she's straightforward.
That log line was faulty, so I can't. Yeah, sorry, gonna have to pass on that one.
That's
what's
okay.
What's going on today? You tired? What's happening?
Yeah, I am tired. I had to. Okay, I told you this. I had to get a new phone. My phone got cooked this morning.
Yeah.
Absolutely would not turn on. So I had to drive to two different AT&T stores to get a phone the size of my goddamn face.
No worries, you know. Pilot season isn't over. I'm still open.
Oh,
you know?
Thank you.
Just have your
for sure.
Call my people.
I am.
I'll send along a script. Yeah.
Manager.
I constantly want to hear your ideas, and you know, I got notes, even though I've never been a writer. And so, come on back.
Yeah, I'm Olivia's manager, so you can just send. If she could send everything, I'll send it to you back and forth, so on and so forth.
It's a whole thing. It's what we do.
We make it work.
I'll zoom you. Circle back and put a pin in it.
Oh Lord. Well, it's time to put a pin in this perfect episode of A Perfect Podcast. Janelle, thank you so much for coming on.
Yay. Of course. I had a great time.
And now
thank
here
you,
we
guys.
Go. My favorite part when we go, do you have anything to plug? And I know you do because it's a whole ass TV show. So Janelle, do you have anything to plug?
I mean, thankful and blessed that I do during a goddamn pandemic. But yes, go watch the now season 2 of Black Monday Showtime. If you don't have Showtime, they offer a 30-day free. You know, I don't believe in paying for things right now either. So you can go on 30 days and watch the both two seasons. It's so slept on.
It really is.
It's so funny, jokes on jokes. It was my best and most favorite work experience. Don Cheadle, Regina Hall, just
what else could you ask for?
An amazing experience. Also, I am currently writing on Central Park, which is an animated show from the guy who gave us Bob's Burgers. It's on Apple TV. I just recently got to write a role for Whoopi and Goldberg and Nora Jones is singing. It's all kind of shit happening. I don't know. I'm on. It's a musical. It's very upbeat. They saw my stand up and they said, "This is the happy chick we need over here." And so here I am, and just spreading cheer, and it's getting good reviews. So check that out, and then go on YouTube and watch my old shit, like people have been doing,
and your Netflix and writing quarter me about special. It.
Oh, my Netflix quarter special, but I really enjoy that people are finding like my old ass sketches from when I first started comedy and writing me about it. I love it. I'm really serious. Go watch Dick Detective.
Dick Detective is iconic. You and Hadia is iconic. I stand by Dick Detective.
Go watch Time to Buy a Gay. Go watch all the things that I couldn't put out right now without getting dragged through hellfire. It's I appreciate it. It's still up. And then follow me. I'm trying to get my socials up. I've gone years with thinking it's not important.
Your Instagram has been a marked improvement, I'll say.
I know, because I'm trying
now. Stories the other day were killing me.
Thank you, sir, very much. So, follow me on Instagram, Janelle James Comedy. I mean, I'm doing Steven Spielberg level of... level of storytelling on there, and follow me on Twitter too. I can't stand it, but I need, I figure it's quarantine, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not doing any shows, why not get my numbers up online? I guess I don't know, I just want to feel like I'm doing something. Please just follow me. I ain't talking about shit, but I'm trying. I'm at least trying to make people laugh during this very horrible time.
That so, in itself is commendable and inspiring.
Thank you.
Okay.
And everybody, I commend and who inspires me, Olivia?
Who?
You.
Oh. Ditto.
She hates me, okay.
I'm speaking of Whoopi, I'm just making a reference to the classic film Ghost. Ditto.
Oh. Also, well, it's not out yet, but I'm coming out with a podcast called You in Danger, Girl.
Oh my God.
And based on Whoopi's iconic line of
Yes. Ghost.
And it's about crazy dates, red flags, and erotic thrillers.
Oh, my God.
And that'll be out soon. So look out for that.
I absolutely cannot wait.
Incredible.
I'm so glad I brought up Ghost. So now I know that that's happening.
One of my favorites.
I love that movie. Oh, my God.
I would sleep with Patrick Swayze now, dead version. Anyway.
I mean, truly same. Like, oh, God.
I would just have his ashes in bed next to me. And that would be enough.
Rubbing one out on his ashes. All right, and we're going to rub this one out and say goodbye. Thank you guys for listening so much. Make sure you like it, you subscribe it, you share it, you tell your friends, you give us 5-star ratings, because when we went on hiatus, people got mad and didn't believe it was a hiatus. So they started giving us low ratings, and now we're down to 4.5.
Oh my God.
Not a 4.5 podcast. This is
we're giving you 5-star energy every goddamn week.
You 5-star interviews with 5-star guests.
So spoiled.
Who?
Everybody that downvoted this, go to Io and Olivia's Venmo right now and give them some fucking money. How dare you?
I like that.
Penalize people during a pandemic because they took a break.
I like that.
These fucking, anyway.
Anyway.
Give me some money too, just for even thinking about it.
Well, you know what to do. Hit the 5 stars and find our Venmos. All right. Thank you guys for listening. I'm Ayo.
And I'm Olivia.
Bye.
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 Forever.
Dog.
Forever. Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.